You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We're only a week into training camp, and the Chicago Bears already have an offensive line problem. This is Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I'm here to bring you your daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. You can follow me on Twitter, at CoxSports1. You can follow the podcast on Twitter, at Locked On Bears. You can like Locked On Bears on Facebook, join the Locked On Bears Facebook group, and subscribe to the Locked On Bears channel on YouTube to keep up with our video podcasts as well. On the show today, a full assessment of this Bears offensive line issue, largely injury-based, but a problem nonetheless, and perhaps a problem they should have foreseen and could have done more to prepare for and potentially avoid. We'll start with an update on Tevin Jenkins and his back injury. Still hasn't practiced yet. We'll figure out how far along he is and what the timeline might be for him to get back. We'll look at the different guys the Bears are throwing out there, trying a lot of different things at left tackle and maybe some of the problems that come with that. We'll wrap up with what the Bears are saying versus what the Bears are doing and why Matt Nagy's words and the Bears' actions don't exactly line up, and maybe some regrets about how this offseason went, specifically with that offensive line group. But let's start with the Tevin Jenkins update, because everyone's wanted to see this Bears second-round pick take the field now that the pads are on, especially get to see these offensive linemen really work. And that's sort of the maybe the larger caveat to the on-field performances we've seen thus far, that if linemen have played poorly, they haven't really had many opportunities with their pads on, and so we haven't had really full sample sizes yet to determine whether or not those big men especially are playing well or playing poorly. But the problem is that Tevin Jenkins isn't playing at all. I mean, that's really the big issue here. Jenkins dealing with some sort of back soreness that has kept him not on the physically unable to perform list like Jermaine Ifedi, who's got his own injury situation, not on the non-football injury list like Eddie Jackson. He's still around. He's apparently close enough or not injured enough or whatever designation it might be to keep him active on the roster, but unable to participate in any training camp practices so far. So you have Jenkins out. You have Jermaine Ifedi at right tackle on the physically unable to perform list, both your starting offensive tackles not participating. Then just this week, Elijah Wilkinson, the swing tackle, who originally we were slating in the competition at right tackle, but with Jenkins' injury, Wilkinson has been filling in at left tackle as your backup there. He now goes on the reserve COVID-19 list. That doesn't tell us whether he tested positive or whether he was just a close contact with someone who tested positive, and he should be back, presumably, sooner. I mean, it's not the same as an injury per se. It's not the same quite type of recovery in that regard, but we don't know the full extent, but we just know that he should be back in some sort of relatively soon amount of time. But in the meantime, your top three offensive tackles are all out. And so immediately you start to think, well, maybe the Bears should bring somebody in at this point just to get another body in there on the offensive line. And, you know, it sounds like Matt Nagy really wants to at least see what the Bears have first, and he kind of addressed this situation at his most recent press conference. And I will say, them doing it from Hallis Hall for Family Fest, you can't hear the questions that the media are asking Matt Nagy. You can only hear Matt Nagy's answer. And so the first question he answers is about this idea of, hey, you considering looking at outside free agents because of your offensive tackle issues? And then in between, you'll hear kind of a quiet part where someone is asking about Tevin Jenkins and his timeline, whether he's day-to-day or whether they think this could be a potentially like multi-week-long recovery fringing on the regular season.
So the players that we have on this team right now, Tevin included, right? Tevin and Larry, and then obviously Elijah. That's where we're at right now. We have that. But I do know that Ryan and those guys are always looking to see who's out there. That's a normal deal. When you have a position at left tackle, which for us is a focus to make sure that we get it right, we gotta be able to see these reps. We gotta see the guys out there. Well, if Tevin's not out there, then it doesn't do anything for us, right? So that's probably where then we would have to go to that next step of what you're saying is which Ryan will always do with his guys, is see who's out there and if we get to that point, right? But we got to also give Elijah, we got to give Larry, we got to give BT and the rest of these guys, we have plenty of time yet to still get to a point to where we can see them succeed and do well. And it's a great, what a great opportunity. You know, it's competition, and it's competition to be a starter. It's not competition to be a backup. So as we go through here the next several weeks and get into the preseason, Coach Cully in Houston, when he was a wide receiver coach and I was coming up through the ranks, he used to always tell me in training camp, one rule that I always still live by, he used to say, Matt, it'll all play itself out. It's real simple. So that's just kind of how I roll.
Well, the reality is that two more guys.
Who's that? Probably in the middle, whatever that means. No, I honestly don't know. All I can say is I feel like the arrow is, it's every day it's getting a little bit better. It's not going the other way. So we just got to be smart. And when it is time, Dre's going to come to me and say, hey, he's practicing today, or he's going out, he's doing individual. And then he's going to do some 5 to 10 reps here, and we'll slowly get him in. And then we got to see how he's feeling. And so the sooner the better, for sure. I just can't predict days or weeks.
So to be clear there, the question was like, you know, Matt Nagy, is Tevin Jenkins more like day to day or week to week? And Nagy's answer is, I don't know. Somewhere in the middle. So that tells you we're not like 1 or 2 days away, but they're not like concerned as far as like maybe months away, because we are talking about back soreness or back tightness, some kind of back issue here with Tevin Jenkins. That means potentially missing the first preseason game against the Dolphins, as that's coming up here sooner rather than later. And Tevin Jenkins needs every rep he can absolutely get. And Matt Nagy will talk a little bit more about that a little bit later on today's podcast. But this is just strikes me as slightly strange, because, you know, they haven't called it a tear or a strain necessarily in terms of like a more serious back injury. I mean, I don't know. This is a 23-year-old rookie. I guess he's an offensive lineman, but like being out with back soreness sounds like when a middle-aged man, you know, wakes up with a sore back, and then, you know, you give it a couple of days and you're good to go. Obviously, Tevin Jenkins, a professional athlete, but it just feels to me like maybe there's something. Not that the Bears are deceiving or not telling us everything, but just that this feels slightly more serious than it might sound on paper when you just say, oh, he's out with back soreness, and all of a sudden it's not a day-to-day, it's more of somewhere between days and weeks on the recovery there, trying to get a rookie ready for week one against Aaron Donald and the Detroit or the Los Angeles Rams defensive line. That's a major concern for me, especially because of a lot of the lack of depth on this offensive line. And as they've trotted out different players in that left tackle spot, it's honestly been kind of laughable, some of the names that are in that quote-unquote starting left tackle competition. We'll go through just how dire this situation is at Bears training camp practices next on Locked On Bears. You'll be surprised all the different parts moving in and out of the Bears' left tackle competition. And you'd be surprised about all the different parts they have available at rockauto.com. They're an online auto parts company that has been serving customers for over 20 years. They're family-owned, they're easy to use, easy to navigate, and it's so much easier than going into the local part store, the chain company in your town, and talking to the person behind the counter, and they're going to punch in stuff in their computer and ask you 1,000 questions about what part you're looking for, and they're questioning if you even know what you're talking about with your car, and then they go look in the back. Chances are they won't have it in stock anyway, and so they have to order it for you. Why not cut out the middleman and check out rockauto.com, where you just enter in your car's make and model, and boom, pulls up a full list of all the parts you're looking for, and you can sort by the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Don't spend up to twice as much somewhere else for the same parts. Check out rockauto.com today and find all the parts available for your car or truck. When you check out, go to the box that says, how did you hear about us? And write the words Locked On. That way they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. So Tevin Jenkins, never practicing from the start of training camp, he's out. Elijah Wilkinson comes in. Okay, the Bears signed him to be the swing tackle this offseason. You can live with your backup there getting some reps. Wilkinson goes on the COVID-19 list, and all of a sudden your third-string left tackle is lining up against Khalil Mack and the starting Chicago Bears defense. And when you get that deep on the depth chart, you really start to scrape the bottom of the barrel. And so Matt Nagy and Juan Castillo have tried a few different guys out over there, and sounds like they're maybe going to experiment with a few more. But I think the big surprise to start there was Larry Borum. We heard Matt Nagy sneak that in his comments earlier. Larry, it was the Larry who he was referring to there, the rookie fifth-round pick out of Missouri, like 325-pound, big-bodied, mauling offensive lineman, mostly a right tackle at Missouri. That was kind of his home. And coming in the draft, and even when the Bears drafted him, a lot of this projection that, you know, maybe he's just a little bit too big and a little bit too slow to play right tackle in the NFL, and that he would likely end up moving inside to right guard or left guard. He played some guard in college as well, so, you know, there's maybe some familiarity there to make that adjustment as he sort of develops over the long term and use that size and strength a little bit more to his advantage at that position. But instead, Matt Nagy says, no, we want to try Larry Borum at left tackle. And specifically, it sounds like he's worked on his body quite a bit and maybe slimmed down a little bit. And all of a sudden, the Bears have some intrigue about their fifth-round pick getting action sooner, maybe, and sooner than we thought, and maybe at a different position than we thought.
I think for sure. Brad, I think that for him, he's a big guy. He lost a lot of weight after, you know, in this offseason, and that's a credit to him. I like his footwork. I think he's really light-footed for being such a big man. I don't know if he can play left tackle. That's why we're trying to put him there and see. It's not easy when you go from the right side to the left side. But I think now's the time to see really what he can do. And it'd be pretty cool to see it. You find out you draft a guy, you know, in the fifth round and end up having a guy that can do some good things for you. So we're going to test him out.
I was looking back and at Larry Borum at Missouri in particular, after hearing the news and Matt Nagy, what he said, and kind of moving guys around. And Larry Borum did make one start at left tackle. I believe it was 2019, so two, he's not his last season, but his second to last season. I think it was like a week four game against South Carolina, if I remember correctly. And of course, you know, one game is not definitive proof either way that he can or cannot play left tackle. As far as I remember, didn't seem like he was horribly out of place. But again, there's a difference between doing it in college at Missouri and taking that to the NFL and training camp against Khalil Mack. The loss of weight is good. Maybe get in better shape can help him be a little bit more mobile and flexible. And Matt Nagy was complimentary there of his footwork as well. So, like, those are all encouraging. But I think it's also pretty fair to have some real doubts about not only a fifth-round pick trying to fill in as a starting left tackle as a rookie, but then also Borum with his sort of track record. All the evidence kind of suggests that maybe he's not exactly built for left tackle. But, again, Bears trying to try some things out. And I think the Bears might have some doubts, too, given you know that they haven't tried him there up to this point until things got desperate, and that they're trying other guys there, too. It's kind of just throwing all your different pieces at left tackle and seeing what sticks. And that's the extent, I think, of their confidence level in that for Borum, is let's just try it and see, I guess. And that's one strategy to consider. But it's been sort of a rotation now with Wilkinson on the COVID list. One of the names that isn't really a household name at this point on the roster, it's Bedarra Traore, the one Matt Nagy calls BT. He was an undrafted free agent last year out of LSU, and he was kind of LSU's backup offensive tackle, like their swing guy. He made a few spot starts here and there at both left and right tackle, but really not a lot of college tape under his belt. Apparently it showed enough for the Bears to bring him in, not only last year as an undrafted free agent, but kept him around on the practice squad and back now for training camp this year. And now getting that, what would that make him, fourth string left tackle? If we go Jenkins, Wilkinson, Borum, Traore, I guess fourth string left tackle. He's probably, you know, third string right tackle then, you know, if he's able to kind of play both of those spots. But you know, obviously, if he wasn't good enough to start at LSU, there's not a lot of evidence to suggest he's going to be this gem, diamond in the rough. But again, worth a shot. Give it a try. See what he can do. And clearly, he's shown the Bears enough flashes of the last couple of years to get that shot after Larry Borum. But sounded like he kind of struggled during Family Fest at Soldier Field, probably expectedly, again, against the likes of Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn and those guys in the rotation. So Bears trotted another left tackle option, I guess fifth string left tackle. Then was Alex Bars, another former undrafted free agent a couple years ago out of Notre Dame. He's now played pretty much everywhere on this Bears offensive line. I was kind of looking back at his college career too, because as far as I can tell, Alex Bars has never played left tackle in like a normal game situation in his college and NFL careers. Last year for the Bears, he started a game at center out of nowhere because Mustafer was on the COVID list after they moved Cody Whitehair, if I remember correctly. And then he played some right guard and some left guard and obviously really struggled and was taken out of the lineup for a reason. He played some right tackle in college, but you know, never on the left side over there. So he has minimal tackle experience, but throw him out there, I guess, and see what he can do. I mean, it feels to me like the Bears are just trying anybody that they think maybe could make it work. So if you're listening to this and you played left tackle in high school, give the Bears a call. Maybe they'll put you out there and just try anything they can to get some different bodies and see what they might be able to put together for the left tackle. I totally understand them feeling like, okay, we at least want to see what we've got in all of these young guys that have never played left tackle before. I don't know that you can fully evaluate how well they can play left tackle in just a handful of training camp practices, but I see some of the logic behind the process here. But it feels like the offensive line and the left tackle spot is just too important to be messing around with Bedara Traore and Alex Bars and all these different guys to protect your quarterbacks. Like and the Bears know this, right? I mean, they know how important offensive line is, but it just doesn't feel like their actions up to this point have fully matched their words. And we'll kind of go through Matt Nagy saying the right things, but not really doing the right things next on Locked On Bears. This episode of Locked On Bears brought to you by BetOnline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports actions. And there is no shortage of Bears prop bets available for you. Right now, even before a single preseason game, you can bet on which quarterback is going to start week one, Dalton versus Fields. You can bet on Fields' offensive rookie of the year. You can bet the over-under on different Bears players' stat lines this year. Over-under Allen Robinson's receiving yards, receiving touchdowns, Darnell Mooney, Jimmy Graham in there. Khalil Mack over-under, I think 9.5 sacks is the number they set there. You can bet on who's going to be the Colts week one starting quarterback with Nick Foles in that conversation as well, and so many more, plus basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, tennis, Olympics, you name it, you can bet it at betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account and enter our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your free 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So at this point, the offensive tackle position, it's a mess, right? Both sides, because you've got Jenkins and Ifedi out, and then with Wilkerson too, you're taking guys that might have been playing right tackle and putting them in at left tackle because you're even weaker there, which then sort of takes away guys from both positions and players not really being locked in at one spot. But all of this feels like a lot of what we've been trying to warn you about throughout this offseason on the Locked On Bears podcast. We talked about it in March, entering in free agency and the Bears' plans for overturning this offensive line, and then after the draft and gearing up for training camp, still some free agent tackles out there and some concerns about this Bears' offensive line depth, and just kind of saying, hey, you know, if something starts to go wrong, it's really going to expose some issues here. And so less than a week into training camp, something goes wrong and all of the issues are really starting to be exposed. And for me, it's a combination of a lack of depth and a lack of experience that are already a problem before the games have even started. We haven't even seen like how the lack of experience might affect them when it's a real game situation, but we're already kind of there just at training camp practices with young guys starting to struggle. And it just feels like the Bears should have learned this really firsthand after last year and all the different offensive line issues that they had. And like that's the thing is, like, Matt Nagy says he did. Like, he, the words that he says at this press conference is, are the things you're supposed to say is like about what this offensive line has done and how important it has been to this Bears group. He's reflected on how they were at the center of the offensive turnaround last year. And then, again, with this segment of this press conference, you're not going to be able to hear the media question in the middle, but the question is sort of like, Nagy, are you anxious about the offensive line with all this stuff? Like, how, like, with all these different pieces moving around, like, are you worried about it? Or how are you sort of handling it? So that's sort of the two parts that we get here from Matt Nagy. Again, saying what we would think you would say and think and feel and act on, and it's that last part, acting on, that hasn't quite been the case.
It was really simple for me. We got that offensive line in sync done. It was really that easy. And that's no credit to the players at offensive, to what the guys were on the starting five for the start of the year. But once we got consistency in that Green Bay Packers game, the game we lost, that's when it started, I felt like, offensively. And we just started to kind of get a little bit of an identity. The guys started really believing in the identity of what's going on with where we were last year at that point in time. We had to change a quarterback, right, with Nick and Mitch. So we had a lot going on. But when you really look at it, if you look at the numbers, the way it went, like that offensive line solidified things. And then also everybody else kind of stepped their game up too, and it helped out.
Does it give you anxiety?
It doesn't give me anxiety. But it's definitely something that we need to focus on and make sure we get that right. I mean, that left tackle spot is real, and there's going to be great competition. But it's not anxiety, because there's ways we can help. But it's certainly, there's urgency. That's a good word.
So, like, all the logic there follows, right? Yes, Matt Nagy sort of agrees with what we've seen on the outside, that, like, last year the big turnaround was against the Green Bay game when they made that last offensive line combination. And it started clicking, started working, and that was a big part of how Mitch Trubisky and this offense really started getting things back together that second half of the season. Good. And also, Matt Nagy acknowledging, yes, it's really important and urgent that we get this offensive line figured out right and get the combination in there set so they can build some of that same cohesion. Great. So why then are we messing around with throwing Alex Bars and Badara Traore and Larry Borum over at left tackle and just throwing anything up at the wall to see what sticks? Like, let's get this figured out and let's lock in and let's make it a priority. It just seems like the Bears have not made the offensive line a priority in years here in Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy's tenure. I mean, they've used some draft picks on it, but they have not spent free agent dollars there. They've given Cody Whitehair the contract extension, but they've really sort of gone cheap there, especially now this offseason. You cut Charles Leno and you cut Bobby Massey for financial savings and this idea of trying to make the offensive line better. And everybody, you know, a lot of Bears fans wanted to see both of those guys go, but you sure would like to have Charles Leno and Bobby Massey right now when everything else at the offensive tackle position is absolutely crumbling and falling apart around them. Like, it feels to me like, and this is what we were saying in March, and what I was saying, like, this is what we've been warning about all offseason. If you're going to cut Charles Leno and Bobby Massey, you better have a surefire plan to make sure that you are upgrading that position. Otherwise, you are choosing in your own releases to take your own offensive line backwards, while also acknowledging how important it was to your success last season and the urgency of actually getting that position right. So that's why I'm saying, like, the words are what you want to hear and seem to be the correct process, but then the actions for this offensive line has not followed suit, and the Bears just keep messing around with moving guys back and forth. And you know, Larry Borum is trying to learn the NFL speed, and it doesn't help if he's playing right tackle and then switching over to left tackle and having to learn the different responsibilities on different plays. You know, if a certain running play, if you're on the front side at the right tackle, you have a very different responsibility if you're on the back side as a left tackle, in addition to all the different muscle memory things. Like, you can't just move offensive linemen around constantly and then expect them to be ready to start the regular season fully locked in and up to 100% with no rust or learning curve or anything coming along with that process, right? It's not smart usage of your players to just dangle them around and figure out some offensive line plan on the fly. And it just feels like we do this every year with this Bears offensive line. That Charles Leno was the consistent guy who started every game at left tackle, and there wasn't really issues here. We've seen it more in recent years with James Daniels and Cody Whitehair at center and left guard and moving guys around and never really knowing exactly what they're supposed to do. Now that you cut both Bobby Massey and Charles Leno, we're doing the same thing at the offensive tackle position. And so it's like I don't know why we act surprised when it happens again, when the Bears are among the teams spending the least in the NFL on their offensive line. They've used some second-round picks, and that's good. You want to build long-term younger players over time, but that's not a recipe for building a really strong offensive line right now in 2021. And honestly, I have my concerns about putting Justin Fields behind an offensive line that I'm not sure who my tackles are going to be and whether or not they're going to be any good by the time they're actually out there in week one, because I don't want Justin Fields getting hurt first and foremost, but I also don't want him building bad habits because maybe he's afraid that pressure is coming all the time or he's always on the move. You know, we talk about David Carr as the extreme example, and it's not going to get that bad, but you want to push your rookie quarterback in the best possible position. And it feels like the Bears have not done that, especially with the offensive line and the different moves that they've made there, really setting themselves back and now setting themselves up for depth issues that have really come to the forefront at the start of training camp. So for me, this is my biggest Bears concern entering the 2021 season. We are going to be following it as closely as we possibly can throughout training camp and the preseason. So make sure that you subscribe to the Locked On Bears podcast to keep up with all of our daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. Again, keeping you up to date on programming, planning, moving forward here. Next week, I'm going to be out of town, out of the country. Podcast will not be as regular over the 10 days that sort of follow. And so we'll get some Bears content for you, but I won't be live in here and ready to react to any kind of big Bears breaking news. So I hope you'll keep following along. I hope you'll bear with us, pun very much intended. And we will be back, refreshed, locked, and ready to go forward for the end of the preseason and into this Bears regular season, no matter what is going to happen. So I appreciate everyone who's been listening, tuning in all throughout the offseason, and I hope as things progress through training camp, the Locked On Bears podcast makes it just a little bit easier for you to bear down.